it is a pretty intense passage, and we're going to deal with it in a moment, but I want to start with an interesting article that I recently read. It was written by Jenny Price. It was called Seven Benefits to Being Wishy-Washy. Now, you know, I know maybe some of you have watched David Letterman on occasion, and he does the top 10, right? And sometimes it's dripped with a little bit of sarcasm, right? So I think she has a little sarcasm in this list. But let's hear what she has to say. Number one benefits of being wishy-washy is indecision. I don't have to decide, she says. I get to stay in stuck mode and settle into my comfy medium life and coast through my days just waiting and hoping for it to happen all by itself. If God really wants this or that for me, he can make it happen. Surely he's big enough to pour the blessings into my lap without me putting myself at risk. Number two, low expectations. No one expects more of me, including and especially myself, so I get to not move forward. I don't even have to make up new excuses. My not being clear on what I really want lets me settle into the lowest bar. The standards are low, and I can just skip my way right through. Number three, no accountability. I'm not accountable to anyone. When I don't say what it is I really want to go after in life, I'm not accountable to anything new. That is so much easier than pursuing or announcing or living up to any new goal that I might set. Being accountable is for the birds. All those people asking me questions, they aren't there because I have not given them anything to ask me about. Number four, lots of talk. I get to talk about what I want and not do any of the hard work to get there. There are lots of talking and walking. I can tell people all about how epic and grand it is and avoid actually ever having to risk going there. Number five, we're almost done. The easy road. I avoid the challenge. I look good all the time because I never mess up, or at least not loudly. The risk is minimal, so my chance to fail is decreased, and it's also comfortable and an easy road of existence. The bumps are light, the potholes do very little damage, and it's even fairly easy to navigate. Number six, avoidance. I get to avoid what I really want in life, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and physically. I can be okay with where I am and even spend my energy not moving forward and spend it instead telling myself and others all the reasons why it just wouldn't work. And the last one, number seven, changing my mind. I can say yes one day and I can say no the next day. I can say maybe or sometime soon, and I simply can just keep changing my mind. It's much like the wind blowing to and fro. Whichever way it goes, it doesn't matter. I just go with it, wishy and washy, through the pretty wind falling. When I read this article, I got to the end, and of course, it's written by a coach. She's a Christian coach, and she's asking people to call her up and pay her to help them get their lives in order, which of course that made me even more upset about it in a lot of ways. But it was telling. I mean, I read that list and I thought to myself, you know, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes it does seem overwhelming to take a risk. And sometimes it's easier just to not create tension and to just stand by whatever is the norm or whatever people are saying at the time, right? But she asks these questions. What are you avoiding? Where are you taking the easy road in your life? What do you keep changing your mind on? And how will you choose to be clear today rather than wishy-washy? I don't use wishy-washy in my everyday vocabulary, and this article kind of made it stick out a little bit for me, so I looked up what it meant. And you know, there's actually a dictionary out there called the Urban Dictionary. Has anybody ever read that before? Yeah, it's kind of like the everyday sayings that are in there, right? And of course, here's the Urban Dictionary definition of wishy-washy, just in case you haven't looked it up yourself. The first one is thin and watery as tea or soup, insipid. Okay, that's the first definition. But the second one, I think, is where she's going, right? lacking in strength or character or purpose, ineffective, weak in willpower. Paul writes in Romans 7 of his own struggle with the temptation to be wishy-washy. He writes in the passage that every day he wakes up, and with his whole being, he wants to do exactly what the Lord requires of him, that he loves the Lord's laws, he loves the scriptures, and he wants to do everything to please him. But then when he looks back at the reflection of the day, he realizes that he did the very thing he hated. He ended up not pleasing the Lord with what he said or what he did. And I'm sure there are many who would say that this passage encourages us to be wishy-washy, right? But I think instead it just reminds us that we are human. I think it's absolutely normal to struggle with the issues of faith. For the matters of faith are not met with certainty, but are instead confronted with mystery. If you read the whole letter to the Hebrews, you will see that it encourages the church to be faithful even when things seem awry. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The King James Version says it this way, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We all know that to believe, to have faith, means you trust in something that you can't prove. And if you don't believe, you'll never really go to the area of trust in the first place. But let's think about our life choices. There was a country song once that I loved. I think it was actually by Ricky Skaggs. Maybe somebody knows him well. But anyway, he talked about how we have to have faith that an airplane is going to hold us up in the air, right? Or else why would we get on it? We have to have faith that our doctor really understands medicine and pharmaceuticals, or else why would we take the prescriptions that he gave us or she gave us, right? I mean, we trust in medicine. And also, you have to believe that an elevator is really going to take you up, right? And not have you fall down, or else why would you get on it and press a little button, right? We believe. And if we don't believe, we do the opposite. We take the stairs, we don't take the doctor's medicine, we don't fly, right? We don't have faith or belief. I think sometimes people get confused, though. They think that when we have faith, it means there's never any doubt. That if you believe, then you're all in, right? There's no wishy-washiness about it. Well, I really wish I could tell you that that was the case. But I love this story in the Bible about Jesus. He was healing people and talking to people, as he often did. And there was a boy's father who cried out and said to Jesus, if you can, take pity on us and help us. For he wanted, of course, his boy to be healed. And Jesus heard the question, right? If you can. And he says to him, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out again, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Wait a minute. I do believe. Help my unbelief. What does that mean? This happened to be one of my former head of staff's favorite parts of the Bible. And he would read it from the pulpit with such passion. And I would just sit there and go, what does that mean? Because if you have faith, you have faith. There's no unbelief. What does that mean? But you get it, right? Having faith means that it's mixed. It's mixed with security and assurance and trust and faith. But it's also mixed with doubt and wonder and confusion. We see it best in the big decisions of our life, right? You get a good job offer, right? And you're stuck in your present job, and your kids perhaps are happy in school. Your spouse doesn't want to move. Your friends really are good to you, and going somewhere new might be hard on everybody. And And so you spend late at night tossing and turning and wondering. First you should go one way and next the other. And faith is wavering between belief and unbelief. When we look at our passage from today, it's very interesting who is listed in the story. Some were tortured. Some faced jeers and flogging. Others were chained or put in prison. Ah, and then the horrible idea of Stephen, who was one of the disciples, who was stoned to death. And another who was sawn in two. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes. What did they do to deserve such punishment? The writer simply calls them others. They are others who lived by faith. These men and women who endured such torment were living by faith. Do you think their faith was weaker because their life was hard? Are they lesser saints because they did not experience a miracle? Oh, no. If anything, they are greater saints because they were faithful even when things were not right. I wish I could promise each of you that you will avoid all that is horrible or all that is challenging just because you believe. I hear it in the wishy-washiness of many preachers today, promising that if God loves you and you love him, your life will be bliss. And I can't say that to you. I can only say to you that deep in your heart, deep down in, if you have faith in Jesus, your life will have meaning, and you will not be alone. And that you will have whatever you need to face the trials that come your way. I challenge you this morning to think about what it means to be in the winds of wishy-washiness. And to remember that every Christian who has accomplished great things for God has known the truth. That in faith, we risk our lives for God, for now and forevermore. Amen. I want to thank a few of you that helped us this morning. We forgot that the schedule was blank for a few.